to computer. That's what I want to do. Hi, everyone. This is Mark, and you're listening to the Ballpark Hunter podcast. I am the regional correspondent for Stadium Journey. If you're making any plans this year to travel to your favorite sports stadium, arena, or ballpark, please check out stadiumjourney.com. We will tell you what you need to know before you arrive. My guest today is Tyler Peterson. He is the assistant GM of the Oakland Ballers of the Pioneer League, aka the Oakland Bees, and they have been making a presence on social media and news throughout the country since their arrival a few months ago. They'll be the new team in town, Oakland strong, Oakland proud, and here to stay forever. Tyler, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Mark. I appreciate it.
Yeah, so how are things out there in Berkeley right now, weather-wise?
Weather-wise in Berkeley, we actually have some sun breaking through. It's a nice 60 degrees almost every day here. So that's where I'm currently hunkered down in my my Ballers HQ, let's say, or my war room in Berkeley. But things are looking good out in the East Bay altogether.
All right. Well, things out here in the Midwest, Indiana, I think we're at -1 right now outside. I've been hunkered in my basement trying to seal all my windows and doors, because when it gets this cold, you realize where drafts are coming from. So that's what I've been doing this past weekend. But let's not talk about weather. Let's talk about some baseball, and let's talk about the Oakland Ballers of the Pioneer League. Tyler, how did you get involved in the team?
So this is technically my fifth year in the league. I originally worked for the Pioneer League team in Idaho Falls back when they were a Royals affiliate, actually, in 20. And then I spent 2 years there. I went 2 years in Rocky Mountain as well, another Pioneer League team. And then I was hired away by the Ballers in late October to join this project. I'm from the East Bay, lived in Oakland. So this was a sort of a coming home for me of sorts.
Nice. And then when you first got the offer to come work for a team in Oakland, did you have to ask them again, like Oakland Ballers were really doing a minor league? I mean, we're doing an MLB partner team. Was anything shocking when you first heard those terms?
Yeah. And in fact, I'll retell this story.
Nice.
I remember that I was on one of our Pioneer League operators meetings, and the commissioner was talking about blah, 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 Oakland. And I didn't know whether he was talking about, like, you know, Oakland County, Montana, someplace I had never heard of.
Michigan.
Yeah, exactly. Or yes. Something like that. Or what the conversation was. So I had to ask, did he say Oakland? And so I learned that he was talking about Oakland, California. And I thought, how the heck is that going to work? Mm-hmm. Just travel alone. I've made the drive myself from Oakland to Colorado. It's, you know, 20 hours.
Yeah.
I break that up in 3 days. It's almost like going like covered wagon style. But I got approached by Brian, one of our founders, and he told me about the idea of the team, that they were looking to bring, you know, someone in to help run the baseball side of it. That's what I was doing in Rocky Mountain, was the baseball and the media stuff. So he told me a little bit about the vision, the project, what kind of resources were being put into it, and their excitement about what they wanted to bring to Oakland with this. And I thought, you know, this is something I probably want to get myself involved in, to have this kind of opportunity come to my door and invite me to be part of this. So I was a little apprehensive, I think, as many people are when they first hear about this. I mean, even hiring a manager, a GM, anyone, it's sort of the same thing. Oakland, really? But yeah, you talk about the market. We are now the biggest market in the Pioneer League. We can do things with our baseball team that other independent league teams can't, because of our market. And we really are excited to get this thing rolling in May.
Yeah, I tell you, when you guys made that announcement, I didn't see it coming. How long did you know, like, when did you join the team before they made their announcement to the public that Oakland was going to have a Pioneer League team? And did you say to yourself, man, this is going to be crazy? We're going to just, you know, break the internet once this is announced.
I think for let's see. Sorry, you did a little post work here. I think I knew that the announcement would take off. I think a lot of that good work and a lot of what you saw with the kind of reach out we had was because of the team we have. We have a group called the Worker Agency that we work with. Catalina and William are two of the folks we work with over there, and they really did a lot on the media reach out part of this to get our message and our branding and our story out there. So kudos to them for that. I think we have, like I said, a lot of different resources. We had a message that we knew folks would jump onto because more or less at the end of the day, I'm an A's fan that they put in charge of running a baseball team. Okay. We have A's fans who became owners of a baseball team and so on and so forth. I mean, you look at our front office staff, everyone pretty much is from the East Bay. So we didn't have to sort of come up with a messaging to wonder what fans would like. We are the fans who have been, hurt or have, certain feelings about baseball in Oakland. So we already knew exactly what others were feeling. Now it's not exact. We had to make sure that we came out in the right way. We had to make sure that we weren't, overly aggressive or anything like that, but we certainly understood what folks were feeling.
Yeah, no, definitely. This has not been a secret that the A's want to leave to Las Vegas. So, you guys are coming in saying, hey, we're Oakland proud, kind of like the Oakland Roots Soccer Club that plays in the USL. We're proud to be in Oakland. We want to stay here, and we're going to have that sort of vibe. We're going to feel good about Oakland. But the name Oakland Ballers, were there other names suggested, or was it let's go with Ballers, let's go with the B's, sort of kind of play on the A's logo?
So my understanding of the name is Ballers was always going to be the name, and it just so happened that they could play it that way. The Ballers comes from a name of a friend of one of our co-founders, Paul, who his friend passed away when they were in college, and he referred to himself as a baller, and so that they honored the team in his honor. And the way I understand it is it's sort of a nice coincidence that they can use that Ballers, B's, A's, that it sort of naturally plays off of a familiar sort of fan experience and fan vision. When you look at the logo, it feels very familiar to someone from this part.
Oh yeah, it's great. No, that's great. I didn't know that this was the name comes from an homage to a friend who departed.
Mm-hmm.
We always wonder why teams are called certain names. Usually a fan vote. Usually somebody says, "Hey, we're going to call it because of a regional tie." But yeah, this is a nice little story you can tell people. Why are the Oakland Ballers called the Oakland Ballers? And now we know. So
I'm not too familiar with teams that are named in that sort of a way.
Yeah.
Unless it would be demonstrably for one person. I mean
Cleveland Browns were named for Paul Brown. He had not died yet, but he called the team the Browns. He had the Cleveland Naps many years ago, but yeah, that's interesting. Are there other teams named after departed friends or players? That's a great way to name a team and a great way to honor their legacy as well. So I'm all for that. Oakland Ballers, the colors green. You got this really cool ball cap. How have those ball caps been selling across the country?
Well, right now, we don't have our own inventory. Right now, all of our merchandise is being sold through a company called Oaklandish, which has an enormous reputation out here and are fantastic folks to work with. And we knew, from the bat that we really wanted to work with them. And they have been selling out. They've been selling out again, and they're selling out pre-orders. I don't know exactly what the figures are, but we did get some message from them that we are probably one of their most successful launches of a new brand or line for them, because quite literally they can't make them fast enough. I don't even have a Ballers hat yet.
Wow.
So they're giving you an idea.
Does the mayor have a Ballers hat?
The mayor, I do believe, has a baller hat. I think we made sure to get her one.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's a great looking cap. If you know, just it's a stylish cap too. It could probably match it with different outfits. You know, in this day and age of baseball teams, you know, being called the Flying Bison or the Pistol Shrimp, you know, here's one that's just sort of just has that nice ring to it, nice look to it. So, yeah, I think when it's all said and done, you guys will have quite the amount of sales throughout the country.
Yeah,
if I not mean, already.
We really, and I think this might be a good way to put it. This way I like to put it anyway. You've seen the Welcome to Wrexham documentary or know a little bit about it?
Yes. Yeah, that's Ryan's team.
So for the same reason that you probably couldn't name me another team in the National League North, you couldn't name me a Hartlepool or a Mansfield, or know much about the English Premier League system, and how league versus non-league works, you probably wouldn't be able to tell me to the average fan what the Pioneer League is, mm-hmm. what independent baseball is like, or how it fits in to the development umbrella. But we want you to make sure that you know who the Oakland Ballers are the same way that you know who Wrexham is.
Yes.
You know Wrexham as this sort of media entity now. We want to be that sort of media entity too. So whether or not, you know, you follow Wrexham, well, now that crest is kind of a cool thing to wear on a shirt. And we sort of want to be the almost a synonym of that.
Nice. I could see that.
Yeah, that's sort of where we want to take this. Because at the end of the day, you know, I think we're going to grow bigger than, you know, most other teams do at our same level, just as a byproduct of how we're, you know, engaging folks within our own market. Mm-hmm. I think we're already seeing that with some of the media stories, among other things. But for being 3 months into a team, I think we're doing a fairly good job.
Yeah, no, I'm saying you guys have that nice little magic potion. It's blown up for you. Sort of like the Savannah Bananas. They got really too big for the Coastal Plain League, and they had to become this independent entity. And, you know, they're just dominating wherever they go. I saw them play here in Indianapolis, and there's people that say, I don't like baseball, but I like the Bananas. So I could see people saying, yeah, I'm in Oakland. I'm going to check out the Ballers. I know all about them. I have to see a game. Obviously, you guys haven't played a game yet, but, you know, hopefully we'll get back together in the future and see what an atmosphere is like, or see what that is like in the near future. So should be an exciting time. This is an exciting little enterprise you got going on right now. So obviously you guys made news recently. You were trying to play at the Coliseum. The Oakland A's blocked you. Is there a strong animosity between the A's and you guys, or was this something that you saw maybe coming that they would try to block you?
I mean, I wouldn't say there's a strong animosity. I don't know that our two teams have ever interacted as far as I know. I don't think we've ever exchanged Christmas cards or anything like that, or
not yet,
or even met anyone. But from what I understand from how the Coliseum went, we had a 1-day lease signed with the sort of the caretakers of the Coliseum, mm-hmm. The company which manages all bookings. And, you know, there's different things from college baseball games to, you know, monster truck shows or whatever it might be, all sorts of things that go on there. And it's sort of an ongoing issue, but the A's did have a clause which they exercised after we had our lease that effectively prevents us now from using the Coliseum on June 29th, which I'm very disappointed about, because I love the Coliseum, and the chance to broadcast the game from there would have been really, really cool for me. So I was really bummed by it. You know, it would have been something that there are a lot of folks in the area who have stopped going to A's games. And so it would have given them an opportunity to come to the Coliseum, which is a place they love, and enjoy baseball there again. There's a lot of people who can't give up the A's because it's a, you know, a lifelong passion, and it's hard to just, you know, forcibly, you know, break up with it because you feel like you're hurting yourself. You want to, you know, there's some amazing young players like Geloff, and you want to be able to go out and enjoy them and love them, but you can't sort of hold them too tightly. So it's sort of a mixed emotions for some folks right now. And then some folks are just, you know, out of hand, done, and not going to worry about it anymore. So I think we were going to bring in a couple different types of folks to the game. Of course, we were going to bring in the folks who sort of are, you know, got the boycotts going on and all the rest of that. But I think we would have been able to draw in quite a bit of a crowd. Certainly would have been
something.
I mean, it certainly would have been the highest attended independent baseball game in the country this year. You know, having the ticket platform ready to go and everything. I mean, we were a couple days away from selling tickets on it. So it was disappointing to not get to do. I'd love to be able to, you know, do something else on that day or have it be offered back to us. But yes.
Or maybe take a rain check. I mean, you could relook at this in the future, whether the A's are in town or who knows, they could be in Vegas or they could be still in Oakland.
I mean, it's such a fluid situation, and, you know, deep down in my heart, I hope they never leave, you know. Yeah. That's my team, more or less. That's the team I grew up with. So
yeah, no, that's tough when your team wants to leave. I know exactly what you mean. My grandfather grew up in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. He was a Philadelphia A's fan. And when they left to Kansas City, he was like, bye. Want nothing to do with you. And he passed away before they moved to Oakland, but he would have been whatever. Screw you guys still.
You know, it's funny when the A's, because I remember the other day, maybe 3 years ago, they opened up at Philadelphia. And there were still some folks who went out who were a couple generations down, still A's fans from there. For grandfather to dad to son.
Yeah.
Which I found very interesting. And the same, whenever the Giants go to New York for a Mets game, there are still folks who go out as New York Giants fans, which I find fascinating.
Well, one thing about that is National League New York baseball. So when the Mets came, all the Giants and Brooklyn fans became Met fans.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people were still Dodger fans. It's just, you know, I don't know. I've never had one of my teams move. You know, I'm a New Jersey Devils fan. They almost moved to Nashville back in 1995.
Is that right?
Yeah, that was, they won the Stanley Cup. We're at the victory celebration, and there was Nashville media up there, you know, talking to people. And, you know, I'm just a young little teenager back then. And we're like, and we knew they were from Nashville. We're like, you're not taking our team. You know, how dare you, you know, blah, blah, blah. And yeah, there was talk. There was talk about going to Nashville. And this was before they had the expansion team. And before we knew that Nashville could become a pretty good market for hockey. We're like, really? Nashville, that's where you want to move to? Like, it was just such a head scratcher back then for us. But yeah, that was the talk. We're here trying to celebrate. And, you know, within a few months, they could be moving.
Now, I was too young, but in the 90s, the Giants were like going to Tampa.
Tampa Bay, yes.
They were going to Tampa. As well. You have, you know, the picture of young Brandon Crawford with the sign they always go back to, don't leave Giants.
Mm-hmm.
I would have been, I would have been way too young to remember, but the Raiders did leave on me.
They left a lot of times.
Which... They left my dad, and then they left me. So they left my dad twice. But, I mean, for me, the Raiders shield is like a family crest. It's, you know.
So you will always support them.
I don't, you know, it's, do I not want to watch football? Or do I enjoy a team which I love? That I went to a game maybe once every 2 years. It sucks they're not in Oakland. But
yeah,
I'm not going to not watch. And it's just a matter of, I think, you know, what do you determine fandom to be? Is it Is it something that you do socially? Is it something you do for yourself? Is it something that, you know, is specifically region-based?
That's interesting.
You know, I happen to be wearing this, of course, no one will be able to see it, but this Tottenham Hotspur hoodie. And they are as much of a boyhood team as the A's or Giants are to are to me. I got brainwashed to like them the same way I got brainwashed to like all my teams by my dad. So,
oh, nice, nice.
That there is day one for me as any of them, even though they're 3,000 miles away.
Yeah, and you know that. Yeah, that's the thing. I'm an EPL. I'm a City fan, and that's something that came about 20 years ago, when, you know, you had to go to a bar and watch a game. You know, now you have so much access on NBC or at home or on the internet, and you know, you're like, okay, you had a liking towards this team. I didn't really say I want to like this team; it just sort of picked me. So I wasn't brainwashed with those guys. That's interesting. I don't know why I like some of the teams I like. My brother, he's 56. He's from Jersey as well. He's a Raiders fan. He liked them in Oakland. He liked them in LA. He liked them in Oakland. He liked them in Vegas. He's never been to a game in any of the cities or stadiums they played at. So all those Raider fans that are out there in the world or country, doesn't matter where they play. As long as you got the silver and black and you can bring home a championship, I guess would be the thing they're more concerned with.
I think, you know, you look at the Raiders, the jerseys never said Oakland. The jerseys never said Vegas. It's just only ever said Raiders.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, with as transient as they have been, I can understand what you're saying. I will also say the Raiders are the only team that are actually an Oakland team. All the other teams
came from
that have been Oakland teams are from somewhere else. And I could say that with both the Niners and the Raiders, that they're, excuse me. Take that again for you.
No problem. Yeah.
I can say that with both the Niners and the Raiders. When you talk about Bay Area, the two football teams are the only original teams. Everyone else is from somewhere else, whether it's Giants, A's, Sharks,
Warriors. Yeah.
They're all someone else's team. Now, Sharks are sort of an expansion franchise from Minnesota North Star, so that's a little bit different.
Yeah, that's a weird story there, because I think they have a little bit of roots in Oakland as well, right? The Oakland Seals, and then they merged with Cleveland.
The Oakland Seals, who became the Cleveland Barons. So if you want to throw the Oakland Seals in there as well, I mean, we can go back to the PCL. You got the Oakland Oaks, you got the San Francisco Seals. You got Joe DiMaggio playing in the area.
Yeah.
That's Casey sort of original as well.
Yeah, you're right. You're right about, you know, teams. And a lot of the California teams were from elsewhere. You go down to Los Angeles and, you know, you can say the same about the Lakers and the Dodgers.
You know how many lakes are in L.A.?
Yeah, there's not quite a bit. Yeah, it's kind of funny. I teach high school and I always tell kids, yeah, the reason why they're called the Lakers is because they used to play in Minneapolis. And they're like, really? I think some kids know that, but they're just shocked. And they never changed the name. They thought about it. They found an article how they were thinking about changing the name, but they said, we'll just keep the Lakers. But yeah, that's in California. Everybody wants to go out there. You know, it's funny when you bring up the Niners. My father, who's 94 years old, he was out here a couple years ago visiting me, and we're watching a 49ers playoff game. And he's like, oh, yeah, the 49ers, do they still play at Kezar Stadium? And I'm thinking, they haven't played at Kezar Stadium since 1970. He's like, yeah, when I was in high school, I went to a game a couple times with some friends. Never liked American football, never understood it, because he's from Costa Rica. So I'm like doing the math. He must have attended a Kezar Niners game when they're in the All-American Football Conference.
Hmm.
That's how far back he goes. But he recognized the emblem. I was shocked. Like, you, because I think they've had pretty much the same emblem their whole time. So just had to throw that story in there, because, you know,
Kezar's still there, by the way.
Kezar, yeah, it is still there, but it's not the 50,000 seat stadium. That looked like a cool little stadium based on some of the NFL films I saw of it.
Now, see, this has turned into a podcast. This is no longer an interview.
Yeah, it's a podcast.
This is good.
Yeah, no, that happens sometimes. We start talking about things. I mean, I can't talk to you about the ballpark experience because you haven't played a game yet. So yeah, this is what happens.
So we, I mean, the, well, I gotta tell you what we want, want out of our ballpark experience, and what I think folks will get with our temporary site, and then eventually with whatever permanent solution we have, you know, whether that's next year, 2 years, 3 years, whatever that might be. We sort of want, and I think I like that you brought up the Oakland Roots, because I've been to Roots games. I love the kind of the block party atmosphere. If you've been to A's games, you know how it is, especially if you're in the bleachers. We want the same sort of atmosphere. We want it to be a party. We want it to be a little bit of a nightclub. We want it to be family friendly. We want it to be all these great things that we think of when we think of Oakland sports and Oakland baseball. So we want certainly fans to have a good time when they come out to the games. And part of my job is to put on a team on the field that's going to give them a good experience as well.
You know, I tell you, it should be a lot of fun, because, you know, I have not been to an Oakland Roots game, but I have seen pictures when they were, I think they were going to be in another league, NISA. I was really impressed with what they were doing compared to the other clubs. And when they jumped into the USL, you know, I'm thinking, okay, this team has bigger, broader ideas of what they want to do. And, you know, a lot of soccer clubs can say, hey, we're proud to play here. And then they don't do the marketing. They don't do the fan-friendly atmosphere, and they just disappear. I know San Francisco had a soccer team a few years ago, won a championship, and that was it. They were gone.
Those were the Deltas.
The Deltas, yes.
I believe beat the Cosmos in the NISA championship.
Yep, that was right.
Perhaps at Kezar.
Yes, I think it was Kezar, and I think they had about 10,000 people there for that
championship. We're bringing this conversation full circle now.
Oh, boy, we can't get away from soccer here. Which is fine. I love soccer. It's no problem with that. So, but yeah, you definitely want sort of like a nice, cool soccer atmosphere. Like, you know, can you see people at your stadium have like a cheering block? Like, because Oakland has something like that, where they have people playing drums. And
we have something here, which is, I think, and I don't know, and you might have a better idea than I with the amount of ballparks you might be experiencing.
Yeah, but a few.
As far as I know, Oakland's the only major league franchise that has sort of its own almost unionized fan clubs, like an ultras section.
Yep.
I don't know any other team that does. I'm a Giants fan too, and certainly we don't have that in San Francisco. But I was thinking maybe on the East Coast with the Yankees or the Phillies or someone, there's something out there I don't know of, but we have engaged fans. We have rowdy fans. We have fans that, you know, go to every game, no matter how bleak things have been the last couple of years with the A's. And those same fans, the Oakland 68s, are excited to come out to our games as well, which we're, you know, just terribly excited about. And so we want to see how it becomes. And I think rather than a cheering section, I think you're going to see more of a cheering stadium, least in the interim period. It will have a very familiar feel to folks who have been to A's games. I also think it's going to be different if you look at sort of the independent landscape, right? So it's going to be almost like, you know, mini major leagues rather than independent.
Okay. Yeah, the Seven Line Army at Citi Field for the Mets, that's the only other supporter section I can think of. And, you know, there could be more. I'm just not paying attention, you know, to it. But, yeah, the Seven Line Army always dressed in you know, the similar color jerseys or shirts. And you can see them out there beyond like center field, right field area.
I know the Seattle Mariners, for King Felix starts, they would have the Kings cheering section with those yellow cards or the tridents.
Oh, really? Okay.
But I don't know if that was I think that might have been more of a promotion rather than a fan club.
Okay.
But yeah, I can't think of too many others. Maybe the Judge. Do they wear Judge's outfits for Aaron Judge in New York?
There's the Judge's quarters at Yankee Stadium. That's a new little, but that's sort of like some that Yankee Stadium just designed.
Okay. You know,
the Judge's Chambers, I think it's called.
All right.
That'd be something to look into. Do baseball teams have, you know, supporter sections like you would find, you know, in MLS or, you know, across the pond as well? So, okay, as we continue and wrap things up here, How are things right now for you? Like, what are some of the in and outs you're doing right now in the off, you know, as you prepare for the 2024 season?
Well, right now it's, you know, we've got about half of our roster filled. We've got a couple more announcements coming out this week in regards to some of those players and coaching staff hires. Sort of ongoing negotiations with players as we fill out our pitching staff. You know, making more key hires within our front office. And then it's just be a lot of planning. We'll have three tryouts to attend, two Pioneer League tryouts. I'm going down to Florida second week of February. Nice. And we're going to have the number two pick in that draft. And then in April, we'll have the number one pick at a tryout camp in Scottsdale. We'll also have our own tryout camp, which we haven't released the date on yet. And then we'll also be attending the Oakland Fans Fest in late February as well. And that's a venture put on by the Oakland 68s and a, I guess you can call them a Twitter account called The Last Dive Bar. They're more of an organization now. And they've done something for A's fans specifically, and now Oakland fans in general. Because it's been a couple years since the A's have had a fan fest. So we throw our own out here, I guess.
Oh, yeah. So they haven't had a fan fest in a couple years.
Pre-pandemic.
Pre-pandemic, okay.
No, there's a divide.
Okay.
There's a obvious divide.
Yeah, it's wow, that's fascinating to think that, you know, that divide is that deep. Because, you know, we hear stories out here outside of Oakland, but, you know, you're right in the middle of it. You're seeing what's happening. So it's you know, I'm sure there's people that would say, I'll still follow this team if they go to Vegas, but there's many others who say, screw you guys, I'm done with you. What would you say the percentage is? 50-50
or
much higher?
That's a good question. I think what you're talking about really is, are you talking about folks who are season ticket holders, folks who go to every game, who are deeply embedded mm-hmm. in this? And I think the more the folks are, let me put it this way, the folks who care more are more likely to give up on them. And the folks who are more casual may sort of still care about them. I think we find that the folks who are more indebted, who have more city pride, who have sort of the love for the A's are more hurt. And so they probably want nothing to do with Vegas. And I think, you know, in terms of us, in terms of the B's, we want to have both folks. We want to have the folks who, hey, you've given up on the A's. We're a team that's Oakland born. We love Oakland. We'll give you something to entertain you, you know, check us out. And then for the folks who, you know, will still go to the A's games the next 3 years, I mean, they won't have a stadium until 28 at the earliest. Mm-hmm. So where are they going to play? You know, we want to make space. We ask that folks make space in their hearts for us too. I mean, look, I'll say this. I'll build a statue to John Fisher. I mean, I'll build a statue to him if he wants to build a stadium in Oakland. I don't get too caught up in the personalities of this, the politics of this. It's look, if the team stays, the team stays. I'll, you know, whoever I want to thank, I'll thank. Mm-hmm. But the way things are going right now, it doesn't appear that way. Yeah. And I think a lot of fans feel that they've been lied to, that, you know, all of these renderings and these drawings and the things that the team was doing to engage with the fans was sort of all, you know, smoke and mirrors, maybe. A lot of people feel betrayed, certainly. And it's certainly coming out in ugly ways. It's coming out in emotional ways. And I think fans do want something to cheer for. And a lot of people do see us as that kind of alternative. I wouldn't say we are an alternative to the A's. I would certainly say we're something in addition to the A's. No more than I would say the Roots are an alternative to the A's, or the Roots are a replacement for the Raiders or anything like that. Or that we are a replacement for the Raiders. I think we're something in addition to Oakland. And we want to be, you know, our own brand, our own team. And now I say that, and you look at our logo and you look at, you know, our branding, which is, again, very familiar brand. But we want to be our, you know, our own entity. We are not just an alternate A's or a team that's only going to be around so long as the A's are here. We're, you know, and we're going to, you know, just try to get folks riled up about it. We want to give folks a good experience, a good minor league experience like they'd be used to in San Jose or Stockton. You know, fireworks nights, you know, everything you would think about when you think about minor league baseball. We want to be that. And we want to give back to the city. We want to create, you know, youth teams. We want to try to revitalize, you know, different areas with baseball. So it's certainly a project that is just bigger than a baseball team. My responsibilities is to focus on the baseball team. But it's certainly something that sort of goes beyond just a Pioneer League team.
Okay. I think that was well said, and I think that's how we're going to end this. I think you guys have this vision that's right now at the early stages, and whether, you know, even if Oakland decides to stay, I think you guys will be a mainstay in the community somewhere, wherever you guys plant your flag. I'm sure the fans will come. I like minor league baseball more than major league baseball sometimes, because cheaper prices, cheaper tickets, food up close. I've always, even when I was 12 years old, that's how I felt. So I think this is something great for the community, and I wish you guys a lot of luck in 2024 and beyond.
I appreciate it, Mark.
All right. So obviously I don't think people need to know where to find you guys, but where can people find you on social media or online?
Online, oaklandballers.com. Let me say that again, oaklandballers.com. And then our socials are on Twitter, it's at oaklandballers, Instagram, oakland.ballers, and then wherever your podcasts are heard, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah. Check you guys out. And, you know, hopefully we can reconnect in the future and see how this year went, or the 2025 season went. Because I'm sure there'll be a lot more news coming out of Oakland.
Yeah, I'd love to have you out at the ballpark someday as well.
Yeah, sounds good. My wife's, I guess it's her third cousin. She's a lawyer out there in the Bay Area, lives in Oakland. So, you know, definitely like to come out, visit her, and, you know, come out and check out a Ballers game.
Perfect.
Yeah. All right. Well, Tyler, appreciate you coming on, and enjoy the rest of your day in sunny California.
Thanks, Mark. You as well.
Take care. Okay, that was Tyler Peterson of the Oakland Ballers Baseball Club of the Pioneer Baseball League. Should be an exciting time. Wherever that team puts on the jerseys and starts playing, I think fans would really appreciate that. Here's a team that is not looking to move, not threatening to move, and I get it. It is not a professional, it's not a major league team, but it's a chance to go out and have a fun time in Oakland during the summer. People say what they want to say about Oakland, but there are some nice little neighborhoods there. So not quite sure what to expect from an Oakland Ballers game. And I know I was listening to the Indie Baseball podcast, and I think they were mentioning, and I could be wrong, and they can always let me know if they listen to my podcast. But they were saying that once that kind of, I don't want to say gimmick, but the whole thing was like, hey, we're here to stay in Oakland. Once the A's do leave, you know, will people care about the team? I think they will. I think people would say, hey, this is a great opportunity. And Tyler did mention that we're a type of team that wants to have a branding known all over the country, maybe even all over the world. Like, hey, we know who the Oakland Ballers are. We may not necessarily know what league they're in. and something that we were having a conversation about, and we definitely could have went that direction. We could have been talking about soccer. But I know a lot of fans would be like, I'm here to listen about baseball, not soccer. It's funny. You ever listen to a soccer fan? Oh, baseball's boring. You ever listen to a baseball fan talk about soccer? Soccer's boring. You know, who likes to, you know, baseball fans, who wants to see a 1-0 game? Well, I guarantee it, if you're a Yankee fan or a Met fan, when you had DeGrom and DeGrom won 1-0 and had 12 strikeouts and 2 walks, or if Cole threw a no-hitter and won 1-0, you'd think that was one of the most exciting games you ever witnessed. So it's kind of funny how baseball fans and soccer fans complain about each other's sports, saying it's boring, low scoring. So I get it. You know, you just, you grow up with the teams you like. And I don't know if this was on the show, but Tyler mentioned that he grew up in Oakland rooting for the A's, rooting for the Raiders, and rooting for the Hotspurs out of England. All three teams were equal. You know, one wasn't considered different than the other. That's kind of how I was. I grew up rooting for the Cosmos. You know, it was the Mets. One time it was the Giants and Jets, and then it became just the Jets, Devils, and it was the Cosmos. You know, very young, Cosmos might have been the first team, soccer team, professional team that I ever paid attention to, maybe even before the Mets. My first game, I was 2 years old. Don't really remember it, but I was 2 years old. And when they left, they left. But, you know, when they came back, you're excited. You're like, yeah, we're rooting for the Cosmos again. And now they're gone again. And we've been here before. And let's hope we don't wait, you know, all those many years without the Cosmos. So some corrections from some clarifications. We did mention the 2017 NASL Soccer Bowl. That was won by the San Francisco Deltas 2-0 over the New York Cosmos in front of 9,691 screaming fans at Kezar Stadium. That was the last time the Deltas took the field. And I remember fans rushed the pitch after they scored. It was 1-0 in extra time, and they sealed it 2-0. And I think they ended it on like a walk-off almost, if you can imagine that. And fans rushed the field. It was an exciting time. You kind of wish that that was the case all the time at those games. Maybe they would have been around a little bit longer. I think Kezar is a nice spot for baseball. I'm sorry, for football. Well, association football, aka soccer. So anyway, guys, thank you for coming on. That was a great conversation. I sort of like it when we kind of, some guys, you know, some people don't always like to get interviewed. Nothing against me, but it's just, you know, maybe you feel a little bit uncomfortable coming on a podcast. You know, maybe I should think about having people come on just to talk about things that are happening. You know, record them that day and post them that night to make things a little more topical. Sometimes I'll have somebody on here, we record it, let's say January 3rd, and then we don't put it out until March 3rd. Well, you know, whatever the heck we're talking about for January 3rd is not so relevant on March 3rd, and things could change. For example, right now, the one baseball team, the Mississippi Braves, are relocating to Columbus, Georgia. And a lot of people are like ticked off. Why would you move a team from a 20-year-old ballpark? But, you know, when you're attracting, you know, less than 3,000 fans a game and you're ranking 29 out of 30 AA teams, you know, things are going to change. And, you know, one town is going to say, hey, come over here. We'll invest all this money into our old ballpark, make it brand new for you guys and satisfy all those MLB mandates. And you can play here. And hopefully Columbus, Georgia could attract more than 3,000 people a game. I don't know. It's 3,000. Is that a bad number for a AA team? I mean, I know other clubs are attracting a lot more in that league. Like I'm trying to think, Birmingham would be somebody on the top of my list that is attracting a lot more. So let me look here. Yeah. So yeah, it'd be nice to do these the day off to have topical conversations. You know, I'm sure we could do that in the future. But that was a cool. Okay. Eastern League. The highest Eastern League team is Richmond Flying Squirrels. They attracted 6,396, followed by the Hartford Yard Goats with 6,293. Those are pretty balmy numbers. I'm trying to think if I'm missing anybody. After that was the Portland Sea Dogs, Reading Fighting Phils. That's a beautiful ballpark, one of my favorites. Then we get down to Texas League with the Amarillo Sod Puddles. They're doing 5,385. Eastern League Somerset Patriots, 5,181. Frisco Rough Riders, 5,128. Yeah, so you can see other teams are attracting a lot more. Tennessee Smokies, Corpus Christi Hooks. I'm trying to think where these guys would rank. Mississippi Braves. Here they are. They ranked 86. 2,545. They rank 86, right below the Montgomery Biscuits, which I think that's a beautiful place to see a ball game. But when, you know, when the Quad City River Bandits and the Hudson Valley Renegades and the Salem Red Sox and the Woodpeckers of Fayetteville and the Great Lake Loons, Asheville, Tourist, Canapolis, Cannonballers are attracting more people, I guess people start saying, well, wait a minute, how come we can't get more people than that? So tell me what you think. Should teams be moving just because, you know, there's a better opportunity, or, you know, should ownership fix things? Till next time, we'll have that conversation. Anyway, thank you guys for coming on. This is Mark, the Ballpark Hunter, and you're listening. You have been listening to the Ballpark Hunter podcast. Thank you for checking in. Thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting. Find me on Twitter. Find me on YouTube. Find me on your favorite YouTube pages. I have 7,000, over 7,000 fans right now. We're deep into hockey and basketball season here in the Midwest. So hopefully you'll be listening to some of my, watching some of my videos. We got plenty more ballpark videos coming up this summer. We have Cincinnati, we have Seattle, we have the Chicago White Sox. We even have, my God, who else? Houston Astros. So we have some good ones coming up, Major League Baseball. And then hopefully I can get out to a few more to share my experiences with everybody. Keep subscribing, keep liking, keep listening, tell your friends. My podcast with the Flying Bisons, 51 people have tuned into that show, one of my highest listened to shows. Maybe not compared to some other people's podcasts, but thank you all for listening. We're on year three, hitting into year three, and we have plenty of content coming up. So check me out on YouTube, check me out on Twitter, Threads, and StadiumJourney.com, the industry's leader in sports travel. Until next time, my friends, happy hunting. Take care.